You're listening to the Men's Podcast from PursueGod.org.
Hey, man, welcome back to the podcast. I'm Pastor John, and today I am joined by two other members of the pastoral team at the church where I serve, Michael Pate and Steve Rodriguez. Michael's been on the podcast one other time. This will be Steve's first time. I'm excited to have you guys here with us today. Thanks so much for joining us. And these are two men that I've not only had the privilege of serving with here at church, but I've also been able to get out and enjoy God's creation with them. You know, we've hiked, we've camped, we've hunted, we've fished. So that's a big reason I asked them to join me for today's topic, because what we want to discuss today is how do you respond to the person who says, the mountains are my church? Maybe some of you listening would say, hey, I have a relationship with Jesus, but I'm just not into organized religion. I don't need a church, or even I feel closest to God when I'm in nature. Now, I hate to spoil the ending, but we're going to all disagree with that statement. I can just go ahead and tell you that. And Michael and Steve are going to say, man, that's not the right attitude to have. But I do want to acknowledge, I think the three of us can probably relate a little bit to that statement, at least the idea that we feel closest to God in nature. You know, we all love God's creation. We love spending time in it. So initially, guys, how would you be able to at least relate to someone who said they feel closest to God in nature? Let's talk about that first. And then after that, if someone says, man, the reason I'm not involved in a local church is because I've been hurt by the church, or I've been hurt by organized religion, how would you address that? Because church hurt is a real thing, and we shouldn't pretend like it's not.
Sure. So I'll start with the closing, or getting close to nature kind of gets you close to God notion. It's good to go out into nature and experience or glorify God in his creation, but I think it's not... You can get lost in the weeds and in that kind of notion, because you could quickly start worshiping his creation and not the creator. You know, you can get lost in the translation or the weeds, if you will. So that's one notion that kind of backfires on somebody, that the mountains are my church. But I think it's good to get out into nature and get solitude, but it can quickly translate into isolation. So the solitude, like Jesus went into the mountains or often drew away from crowds to reconnect to the Father, right? And so Luke 5:16 goes, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. But the thing is to gather from there is that he didn't stay there. He went to connect with the Father, to glorify the Father, to worship the Father, and to re-nurture that relationship he has with the Father. And then he came back down and spread his gospel, spread his ministry to all the other people that needed it. So I think the isolation and the spirit and the solitude is one of those fences that you can walk the fence, but you could quickly fall off on the other side.
That's good. Yeah, we're going to talk about one of the reasons men need the church later in the episode, and preventing isolation is a big part of that. Michael, would you add anything to that, to the guys who, you know, their defense would be, but I feel closest to God in nature? How would you respond to that?
Well, yeah, I think I would agree with Steve there about how Jesus' example is for us. But one thing I would challenge most men is, like, what are you really out there for? You're on a pretty good mission. Like for us, it's, you know, you're there on a hunting trip, or you're there on a fishing trip for a specific activity, a specific purpose, and you're most likely not in prayer or in the Word. I mean, if you are, that's great. I mean, I think it's an awesome thing to do. But I mean, I think when we get into it, I think we're going to talk a little bit about, you know, true worship and what Jesus says in John about worshiping in spirit and truth. So I think we got to really be honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are we really out there for? Are we really out there to connect with God, or are we really out there to, you know, take that next big buck or that trophy walleye or whatever it is?
Good. All right. Well, what about that second part of someone's objection to, you know, I don't need the local church, and that is church hurt. So again, church hurt is real. And I would just say to our listeners, if you haven't already, most of you will experience it to some degree, because the church is made up of broken people. And so how would you guys speak to that defense of, I don't need church because of church hurt?
Yeah, I think for people seeking Christ or newly Christians to the faith, they come to church with a notion that it's full of righteous people, or And when they see people actually fallen, and they get a weird concept in their mind about like, this is a bunch of hypocrites, I don't belong here. When they actually really need to focus on is that church is a hospital for sinners seeking healing from the Lord. And so there's that one misconception that new people seeking Christ have often, and I've experienced that in my life as well. But I think that's one form of church hurt, but also there's other forms of church hurt, especially when there's church discipline involved. And I think that can steer people away from actually attending that kind of community. And when we're talking about church, we're talking about community. Would you like to add anything on that, Michael?
Yeah, I think that sounds like exactly kind of what I've experienced where when I first became a Christian and I was in youth group, I would see all these high school kids that would really act a certain way in school, but then come to youth group and act a different way. And it really soured me. But then as I've gotten some mentorship and gotten to ask some questions and really was challenged by other men about how I thought about other people in the church, I got an idea that, you know, I really should be looking at myself and like not so necessarily, you know, focusing on what other people's faults are, but I also have those faults. I needed to remove the blinders from my own eyes and really have more introspection of like, I am not that perfect either. And I need other people to help me. And so one of the, I love about our church is we work hard at healthy relationships, you know, and it's all about community. I agree with Steve on that.
I think I just want to take a second, guys, and make sure I differentiate between church hurt and spiritual abuse, because both things are real. So if you are the victim of spiritual abuse, let me just start by saying I am sorry for that. I recognize that that's a real thing that happens. And I hope that you can get counsel for that. I hope that you can find a different church where its leaders are serving and leading the way God has called them to lead. You know, I just actually had an interaction with a couple within the last month. I was counseling them related to some marriage issues, but they shared a little bit about their story and the counsel they had received from previous pastors was nothing short of abusive. It was horrific. My heart broke for them. So I want to say, if that's what you're talking about, man, get some help. Look for another church. But if we're talking about church hurt, where another person offended you or said something insensitive, yeah, I want to read Colossians 3:13 for you, which is, make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. You know, this idea of making allowance for each other's faults, I think of it as budgeting for it. So ahead of time, I'm just going to make an allowance. I'm going to expect that people in the church are going to offend me from time to time, and I'm not going to hold a grudge. I'm going to forgive because I've been forgiven. Now, obviously, you know, I'm sitting here with two guys who I'm not holding any grudges against, and that's easy for me to say, but that truly is my heart. Now, I think it's valid. You know, Steve, you talked about kind of the expectations people have coming into church, right? That they expect maybe that people at church are different than people in the world. I actually think it's valid to have higher expectations of those who profess to be followers of Christ than those who don't.
Sure.
But I think we have to have realistic expectations. So I think they can be higher, but they have to be realistic.
I agree with
because,
that.
Because, right, those individuals aren't perfect. And I would say this too to the person who's been wounded. You can't hold someone else to a biblical standard of conduct and exempt yourself from the biblical standard of forgiveness and reconciliation. Mm-hmm. So if you want to hold others to that biblical standard of conduct, then you need to hold yourself to what God's calling you to do from a forgiveness standpoint. And I would just finish maybe this section with this. There's no such thing as a perfect church. And if there is, you'll ruin it the moment you walk in the door.
Wow.
It'll no longer be perfect, right?
Yeah, 100%.
None of us are perfect and none of us are part of a perfect church. All right, so let's transition to this next idea. Again, I know you guys love the outdoors. I love spending time in the outdoors, and I've done that with you guys. So how do you guys balance commitment to being involved in a local body of Christ with the freedom you have in Christ? Because what I want to make sure people are not hearing us say in this podcast is that you are sinning if you are not attending church 52 Sundays of the year. You know, if you ever go camping with your family on the weekend, you better be confessing. That's not what we're getting at. Mm-hmm. So how do you guys balance that?
Yeah, I recognize the tension that Paul writes about in Galatians 5:13 and Romans 14. And it is a, you know, both and rather than either or. You know, when I was growing up, we were taught to be at the church every time the doors were open. So Sundays and Wednesday nights, Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, you know, we were supposed to be there and we would kind of feel guilty if we didn't go. So that was a lot that I had to work through as I've matured or gotten some mentorship and developed in my walk with Christ. So when I made that choice to follow Jesus, it became really no longer about me. It's about serving others. And the beautiful thing that I've realized is it doesn't depend on me. That's my salvation and how I serve others. God is going to send his Holy Spirit. He's going to fill me to be able to do that and empower me and give me those gifts to serve others. So I have had, as I thought about this, a wise person shared with me, there are two things that last forever. And I think about this is that, you know, it's God's word and people's souls. And as I've gotten older, I've recognized how fleeting our lives are. And the average lifespan of you know, most men in the United States is about 76.5 years, according to some CDC statistics. So I've asked myself, you know, I really enjoy the outdoors and I really appreciate the time I get to spend with my family, but there's also some part of me that really wants to be found where Jesus is working. So Jesus is coming back. So I've asked myself, what do I want to be doing when he comes back? I think we capture this in our kind of one of our statements is we give up the things we love for the things we love more. And I love Jesus, and that's where I'm at, and he loves people.
So, Michael, I love all of that. A lot of that sounds very spiritual in nature. So for the guy who's listening who's like, is there a formula, right? Can you just tell me, you know, out of 52 weeks, I'm allowed to miss five? Like, what would you say to that guy?
You know, I think what Paul's trying to get at in Romans 14 and Galatians is that there is no formula. I mean, I think you look at some of the commandments. I mean, they're calling us to do affirmative things, like you are to love your neighbors. And what does that look like for you? That's between you and the Holy Spirit and your convictions. And what I think about convictions is if you try to make your convictions prescriptive to other people, that's when it becomes legalistic. So I'd watch out for that.
That's really good. Steve, anything you'd like to add to that?
No, that's real good. I just want to foot stomp that you've got to prioritize God first and foremost. And if you have a heart posture of God, then I think that balance comes naturally. And like there's no formula like we were saying, but when you have a heart posture of God, you know that, or you get to do these things, to get these, do these good works, to be obedient to God and honor him because you want to, not because you have to. And so when you have a heart posture of God, you automatically have that balance between commitment and just freedom. And it just flows naturally. And another thing that I wanted to foot stop that you said was just that it's different for everybody else. And so I really love that point. It's not a formula, a hard formula or a math equation. It's not. It's different for everybody. But I think it's rooted in the heart posture of God.
Yeah, I've noticed anytime there is a formula for things, then we just turn it into a checklist. Right.
Yeah.
And I don't lean into the Spirit for wisdom, for counsel. Now, I have a little bit of a cheat sheet in the sense that, you know, I'm in vocational ministry. So I actually do have an expectation. There are a certain number of Sundays that I shouldn't exceed, you know, as far as missing. But sure. But that's not what guides me. I mean, like you guys pointed out, I don't think I've ever missed the allowable number of Sundays, not because I feel tethered, but because I want to be here. You know, why would I not want to be with God's people and a part of what he's doing? So, all right, well, let's transition then into, I kind of want to end with two big questions. Why do men need the church? And why does the church need men? And so let's start with why do men need the church? So for the guy who says, I don't need the church, how would you respond to that statement?
I would just basically say that church is community. And what I mean by that is that we need our Christian brothers and sisters. And they need us. We need them to hold us accountable, and they need us to hold us accountable. But we also share each other's burdens. And I want to point to Galatians 6, 1 and 2. You know, dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back onto the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens, and then in this way, obey the law of Christ. And so it seems very out of the ordinary or against our as men to just kind of want to fix it on our own or handle things on our own. We also want to be in control a lot of the times. And so being vulnerable and allowing yourself to open up to somebody in the church to share each other's burdens, to hold each other accountable, that takes a lot of vulnerability, which goes against our nature as men, you know, because we always want to fix it on our own, or at least I did, want to fix it on our own. I wanted to, and I was prideful in that. And so, it takes a leap of faith or a step forward in that vulnerability category to allow people to come into your life, to share burdens, confess to each other what's going on with your life, and allow them to humbly and gently guide you on the right path. That's why I think men need the church. And we also are called to be a light of the world. And so, like, when you go out and isolate yourself into say the woods. And I say isolate because again, there's a fine line between solitude and isolation. So if you don't go to church, but go to the mountains as your quote unquote church, you're basically isolating yourself and you're not allowing your light to be shown. And so it's like you may be of spiritual faith, you may be praying to God, you may be getting into the word, but if you're not spreading that out and being a light to the world, then what good is that? You're not doing any service to yourself or others. And we're called to be a light the world. Matthew 5:14-16, you are a light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So if you're out there, you know, in your church in the mountains, nobody's going to see that unless you maybe your hunting buddy, but like, are you really spending the time to let your good deeds go out and glorify God in that moment? No, you're there to call in an elk and you're 50 yards away. You know, you get my drift, you know? So, we're called to be in community with our brothers and sisters in Christ for accountability, to share each other's burdens, to share each other's burdens, to lift each other up, to pray for each other. And yeah, I mean, I kind of ran it on there, but it's that summarizes to me why men need the church.
I've got a couple thoughts, Michael, that parallel. So I'm going to jump in on that before I turn it over to you. You mentioned isolation, Steve. I really believe the devil does a lot of his best work in isolation. You know, his voice becomes the loudest. Even our time in God's word can become distorted when we're never checking it with what other people are reading or what other people have taught on it. I mean, I've heard guys come up with some pretty bizarre interpretations of scripture when they don't have any sounding board, when they're just reading it. Now, I absolutely believe you can understand God's word on your own. I'm not saying you have to have a pastor or teacher or someone to teach you God's word, but when you're the only one who's reading it and you're the only one, maybe you're not even reading it in context, maybe you're a newer believer in particular, and you get stuck in a passage and you just start attaching emotions to that. I feel like understanding God's word is a skill we grow in, and it's a skill we'll grow in quicker and more thoroughly if we can bounce questions off of other believers. And then the other thing I would just point out is, how can you live out all of the one another commands in scripture if you're not connected to the body of Christ? Because most of the one another commandments are specifically talking about other believers. It's not the world, although we should love our neighbor as ourselves. Most of the one another commandments, those letters, Paul's writing to the church, right? So he's talking to how I relate to other believers. And then the last thing, and you mentioned the word pride, Steve. Man, just in general, men, we don't like to submit to authority. We want to be the boss. We want to be in control. And I really think that submitting to spiritual authority in a local church is critical for most men. I am so grateful that I'm a pastor at a church where I have someone in authority over me. So even though I'm a staff pastor, I answer to someone in our structure. I have to submit to someone else. And even our senior pastor submits to our governing board. There is no one in our structure who isn't accountable to someone. And I think that is so important. You know, I think of guys like Ravi Zacharias, who I absolutely loved his teaching. He wasn't accountable to anyone. He wasn't really a member. I mean, a consistent member of a local church, right? He's traveling the world and teaching and writing, and he just had no accountability. He had no spiritual authority over him. And we see where that led him. So I think that's another big reason, men, you need the local church. Mr. Pate, what would you add to that?
Well, I don't have as good of, you know, depth of thought, but I think about, like, as I run races, I run some long distance races, and there's always an aid station. You know, when you go 50 miles, there's going to be people there to help pace you, people there to provide you water, people to give you snacks, you know, extras, change of clothes. So like a sports analogy, like as I thought about this, men need other believers. Because if you want to go fast, you go alone, like if you're running. But if you want to go far, you'll go together. And I also think about 1 Samuel 14 and Ephesians 6, when you think about spiritual armor, some of that armor needs some help putting on. Mm-hmm. And somebody needs to watch your backside. So like, you know, Jonathan and his armor bearer, when they scaled that cliff and got after the Philistines, man, he had his back. So I think we need others to check our gear. And then, like a military parade inspection kind of a thing. But also spiritual warfare, right? We're battling unseen forces. So that's going to require some combat training. So we need somebody to help wrestle with, grapple, strengthen. So I think like just kind of along your lines, it's like we get soft in our thinking and behavior. So we need somebody to help, you know, tune us up a little bit.
That's really good. Don't come across this table and try to wrestle me. I don't want to lose in front of all our listeners. So, yeah. All right. Well, we've talked about why men need the church. Let's wrap up with this last point of why does the church need men? Because I think it goes both directions. Men need the church. Why does the church need men?
Sure. Like I think I mentioned before, the church needs a good men to hold each other accountable, but we also need leaders. I mean, we need good leaders that inspire others to lead, right? We need good fathers so that their children and other children can mimic the good behaviors that a man of God displays, because they're not going to learn that unless they get it from their dads that are leading spiritual lives and other quality leaders in their community. And so we also need good servants and volunteers, because simply put, that's exactly what runs the church, and that's what we need. It's not going to run any other way without good community, good spiritual leaders. And so those things seem simple in nature, but they're really hard to do unless we have good Christian men that are willing to put forth an effort and come forward and volunteer in the church and be leaders in the church.
Yeah, I agree with Steve. The health of our body is a real central piece to this. I think there's some statistics that say men who attend regularly with their families have a significant influence on generational impact. It's not about the building, the church building, but about who we are engaging with and how we are leading. I think we can do a lot of church work, not necessarily going to Sunday, but it shouldn't be just Sunday. So I think if we aren't leading and engaging, how much will our kids follow when the world engages them? And it will engage them. I think we also need to think about how we are part of a recon unit. I think we need to apply God's giftings to help us fish for men. I think that's like Steve said earlier about it's a hospital. People need our giftings to help them and help them walk with Christ. So I think another thing about that is we need to show true worship in spirit and truth, like John 4:24. I think it needs to permeate all aspects of our life, our home and our work.
I'm going to throw out two more verses, guys. It's just been on my heart as I think about why the church needs men, specifically women as well. Obviously, I mean, this is a men's podcast, so we're focusing on the men. But 1 Peter 4:10 says, God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Again, Peter's writing to believers. That one another is other believers. And where it says God has given each of you, really the better translation is God has given each and every one of you a gift. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you have at least one spiritual gift that he has given you. But what's the purpose of that gift? It's to serve one another. It's to build up the body of Christ. It's not for your own benefit. It's not for your own glory. It is to build up the church. And so if you're not part of a local church, guys, your gift isn't being used. And so that makes me think of Paul's comments in 1 Corinthians 12, where he talks about how the body, again, meaning the church, has different parts, not just one part. And so he says, if the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? And so the reality is, if you are not a part of the local body where God has called you to fellowship, that body is not functioning as healthy as it could be. Now, it can still function. God is a big God. God is faithful. We know the gates of hell are not going to stand against his church, so he's still going to accomplish his purposes with or without you. But that body is not as healthy as it could be if you're not playing your part. So here's my lame pastor joke for the day. There is no appendix in the body of Christ. Like, every part of the body has... You guys didn't even laugh out loud with a courtesy laugh, man. That's rough.
I was afraid of laughing too hard.
I was too. I was thinking about something else.
But there is no appendix in the body of Christ, guys. So your local church needs you. And so I just would wrap up with this, because again, maybe you're even going to share this with a guy that you know would say, the mountains are my church. You're listening to three men. I don't think you could find a group of three men anywhere who love the mountains more than we do. I mean, we love being in God's creation. We do love doing all the things you've heard us talk about, whether that's hiking or camping or fishing or hunting or just watching God's creation. You know, there's something about being out there that makes me feel small and reminds me of how big God is, which I need. But there is not a single tree who needs a word of encouragement from me. There's not a single rock who needs me to come along beside it and say, hey, brother, how can I pray for you? But there probably is someone in your local church who needs both of those things this week. So we just want to challenge you, man. Get connected to a local church. Share this with someone who maybe has been reluctant to get connected. And we'll catch you on the next podcast.
Thanks for listening. Don't forget to share this episode with a friend. Find more resources to talk about these topics with your small group, family, or mentor on pursuegod.org.